What is going on, viewers of the web? My name is Wallace Santos, CEO and founder of Firm Major Computer, and I'm with the dynamic duo.
We never rehearse this, and you just amaze me every single time.
Well, what's so funny?
Oh, man. I'm Ron Reed, marketing director for Maygear.
Oh, my gosh.
And who are you?
I'm Brent Fisher, community manager at Maygear.
I'm sorry. Who are you again?
I'm Brent Fisher.
Oh, man. Welcome to On the Bench. This is our weekly live stream / audio podcast.
I need some energy.
I'm being thoughtful.
It's Friday, baby.
Let's take this roadshow on the road.
We have this is actually an exciting week. So
I am very excited for this.
I won't talk about so anything specific right now, but you know, Computex week, like, it totally is finally, like, a lot of hardware news, which I'm really,
oh my God,
really excited to get into. Just some kind of housekeeping stuff. We will be announcing the winner of the i9 giveaway at the end of the stream. So you're stuck watching this the whole time, guys, to find out if you won the processor. I definitely recommend checking out the live stream we did where we kind of talked about it. It was really fun.
The more you share, the more you might win. I'm just kidding. That doesn't mean
it did. It did during. It did during the contest, but we closed it.
Correct, though.
The winner has been chosen.
The winner has been chosen. We're just not revealing it until the end of the stream.
Because we're sneaky.
And this is going to kind of tie in with some of the news we have this week. But we have our new sale currently. Our dads and grads. So Father's Day and graduation sale. Big discounts on the current gen Ryzen processors. So up to $200 off on Ryzen systems, which includes free 2-year warranty, instant savings, also on Threadripper as well. We're doing an upgrade to the 2700X.
a little bit of an echo.
We're going to find the chat.
We're doing an upgrade to the 2700X CPU as well from the 2700. And in addition to that, we're doing some savings on Superstock systems and some great bundles, including Wolfenstein, the new Wolfenstein.
Youngblood.
What?
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
I keep forgetting the name of the subtitle for the game for some reason.
To be honest, they should have just called it Wolfenstein 80s Retro. Because like, that's what it looks like.
It does.
Like, or Blood Dragon. They could just call it Blood Dragon.
But with RTX.
Far Cry. Yeah.
But with RTX as well. So they... go check out some videos so you get a copy of Wolfenstein with select NVIDIA cards on desktops and laptops as well. And then just to plug it again, if you want to listen to this in a different way on your favorite podcast platform, just search.
You're not going to list Maygear. Them all this week?
I'm not going to list them anymore. I've decided just to say your favorite podcast platform instead.
It works really well if you're driving.
I
we prefer that you did that
instead of watching the video.
Well, yeah.
So I actually, when I commute, I primarily watch YouTube videos, but like I have YouTube Premium, if they still call it that.
So
I
you
think
can turn
so.
Your phone
is
off
it premium
and you can
or
just
red?
Hear the videos. I do the same thing.
Yeah, so I can just close the app and kind of listen in the background. But
that's
if
the greatest
but thing. If you don't have YouTube Premium, it's a way to listen just to this in audio. And we'll try to be thoughtful to make this
not
more
bang the mics
audio
around.
Friendly.
Yeah, so we'll be less visual and more vocal.
Yeah, I don't even know why you're watching this right now, to be honest.
Who is this guy?
And then one other thing is, so every week we feature a content creator that's part of our BeNext program. And this week's content creator of the week is another Notch. Brent, can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah, so... let's see. Another Notch is one of our Maygear partners.
He has a sweet beard.
Yeah, his beard is pretty epic.
I definitely approve of it.
Your little beard jelly there.
I'm not jealous. I think his beard is red like mine too, if I remember correctly.
He's been streaming for 5 years. He's hosted tournaments for Epic Games. And then he's also co-hosted a top 10's iTunes game podcast.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and more importantly, he's just a really great guy.
Yeah, he is really great.
Really, really nice guy. Nice
really
family,
funny.
Really
funny, too.
Super hilarious.
Makes you happy when you watch him, and he's a good dude. So I'm happy to have him part of our family.
Yeah, and definitely check out his Twitch stream. So it's twitch.tv/anothernotch. And how he streams almost every day, right, Brad?
He streams almost every day. Keeps trying to play different games, but he just keeps going back to Apex Legends because it's that good.
I like him because he's entertaining, but he's actually like pretty good at the game too.
Yeah.
Like it's that good combination.
His skill level is actually pretty high. He's the kind of person that I hate in a little bit because he makes the game miserable for me being on another team. He's that good.
I still haven't played Apex. It's on, I haven't had enough time, but so talking about what we're playing, so kind of want to...
All his emotes are being spammed in our Twitch chat, by the way, right now. This is the best. I love this.
Oh, I didn't realize that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I kind of want to just talk about what, you know, a little open-ended. What have you guys been up to? Like, any games, anything new?
I want to get this conversation over because I want to talk about Computex.
Okay.
I want to talk about Computex so bad, but let's talk about that real quick.
So you want to go first, Wallace? What's new with you?
What's new with me personally? So yeah, so this is the part of our show where we're talking about our personal stuff.
Whatever.
What are we doing?
Whatever.
Well, if you want to talk about personal stuff.
We can do that. So I took on a new hobby, I guess. And I bought a Jeep Wrangler.
Jeep life.
I bought a Jeep Wrangler. 2003 Jeep Wrangler.
There she is.
And there's just something so satisfying about buying an old car that's really beat up and fixing it up.
I love old Jeeps. Like I grew up in like a farm town, basically in New Jersey, close to Pennsylvania, and I think I was telling you this the other day. Like most high schools in New Jersey would be like, you know, kind of like lowered cars, and my entire parking lot was.
I had turbocharged Honda in high school.
My entire parking lot in high school were like raised Jeeps. Everybody off-roaded like. That was what they did on the weekends, was just go out on trails and like drive through swamps.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like my wife hates it because it's like smelly and it's uncomfortable.
They're really like loud on the inside.
Yeah, it's
that's
super
the thing
loud.
I remember the most from like my friends driving me around.
Yeah, it's super loud. But there's just something addicting about buying this really old manual car that's really mechanical.
Yeah,
and it makes all sorts of noises. And,
the gearhead in you just loves it.
Oh man! And I ordered so many parts for it already.
So what are you changing?
Oh, I have, dude. So like, I just ordered some Fox shocks. I ordered new headlights. I ordered new brakes. I mean, I'm just redoing the whole thing, and I'm gonna send it to a body. Oh, we're gonna paint it here.
Do you plan on do you plan on like off roading at all? Or it's
probably
pretty
not. Man.
It's pretty wooded in like where you live, right?
It is, but I'm probably not.
You say that now, like 2 weeks from now, you're gonna come to work on in the morning, and it's just gonna be covered in mud, and we could tell you have like a fun.
I'm not
weekend.
That type of guy. I just like.
Have you ridden around with the doors off yet?
No, because
that's so, like a Jeep thing.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that.
You've still got the roll cage, right?
Just my common sense says keep the doors on, but I see a lot of people just driving around with no doors and no top and.
Well, when you paint it, we'll drive it around the block with the doors off.
Yeah, well, I have a motorcycle for that.
It's kind of like it's kind of like
at least I'm prepared.
It's like rocking your PC without the side window on. Like, just leave it on.
You just don't do that.
Yeah. Chad said you're not a full Jeep guy yet. If you're not willing to,
I'm not wheeling.
Is that the rite of passage for Jeep guys?
The Jeep life is all about wheeling. They call it wheeling where you go off roading and stuff. But no, I'm not a Jeep guy. You're right. I'm more of like a racing guy, but
I'm actually
I like
thankful
the Jeep.
For that.
That's cool. So, yeah. What about you, Ron? What are you doing, man?
So, from a game standpoint, I've gotten pretty big back into Hearthstone again. I tend to cycle with Hearthstone. And do any of you guys play in chat? I'm curious what you think about the Rise of Shadows expansion. So I usually come back whenever there's a new expansion. But
is that the game you're playing like on your shield every day at lunchtime for a while?
Yeah.
That's the one you're playing.
Yep.
It? Yeah. Because
it's really easy because especially with like a kid, it's super convenient that I can like play on my phone and only check back every once in a while. But
yeah.
This expansion has actually been pretty fun. They released some single player content. I know you've been playing two Brent.
Hearthstone?
Yeah.
Like
a little bit. Apparently your Pixel can't run it though.
It's a little laggy. the 3A. It's not meant for games.
Which is that actually kind of surprised me.
I play Hearthstone casually.
Hold on. Let's talk about this for a second. Your brand new phone does not play a current game.
Yeah, but I knew that going in.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
Another notch.
I wasn't going to know.
This is hilarious. So another notch just joined. I swear every single time, 2 minutes after we do the feature creator of the week, they show up.
Yeah.
Every single time. Yeah, rewind another notch. We featured you this week.
You're the featured streamer of the week, my friend. Thanks for joining the stream.
I play Hearthstone very casually as much as I play Solitaire. About compared to
Solitaire? You play still?
Like
have Solitaire?
Every once in a
while. Does Windows 10 have Solitaire?
Yeah,
I think it's still
a pretty good version, too. It's got like leaderboards and stuff.
No,
they like totally pimped it up.
It does.
The
yeah,
dude. So the single player content is pretty fun. It's like they call them like dungeon runs, and the idea is that you get like a randomized deck with ridiculous abilities. My only complaint is that it's definitely much easier than the previous ones. Like I haven't failed a run on normal mode.
Is that a trend that's like been going, or is
no,
it just this one?
No, it's really just this one, and that kind of that's the only complaint. I haven't tried it on Heroic yet. They did it differently this time in that the single player was paid, so it wasn't like a free thing, but you get packs, so it's basically a full like wash when it comes to packs. And then I've been playing competitively again a little bit, and then I'm finally crossing one of the like major like shameful geek things off of my list. So there's only a handful of like embarrassing things as a geek that
so
I have.
This is a good thing.
This is a good thing. So my list of shame when it comes to like geekdom, I would say, or as a PC gamer included in that, is not playing Half-Life 2. That's not what
I'm
doing.
Oh my god, you haven't played Half-Life 2?
No, I've gotten like aggressively.
What's crazy
made fun of in
that.
Chat
if you
for
play
not.
It now. It still looks amazing.
You're
gonna be shocked.
It's that's on my list of things to cross off.
Yeah.
The other two is watching Firefly, which is not what I'm doing, but watching Battlestar Galactica. So I've binging through Battlestar Galactica over the last like four or five days.
Is it good?
You might like it. Like,
yeah?
You know how you're not a fantasy fan, but you liked Game of Thrones because the story was interesting enough?
The story's amazing. And same thing with, like, zombies. I hated, you know, Walking Dead, and I loved Walking Dead for a while before it got boring.
So Battlestar is kind of that in that, like, the setting is, like, sci-fi, but the story is very interesting. It's very hard to watch now because, like, there's a lot of super bad CG in it, like properly, like
so what is
super,
is that
super bad.
Or?
I don't know that I want to talk about how I'm watching it.
So lately, I've been playing Octopath Traveler still. Yeah, we'll get that fixed. So I've been playing Octopath Traveler, but I've started dabbling into streaming on personal channel now too. Did a little bit on Twitch, did a little bit on Mixer, trying to feel out the different networks until I figure out what I want to go on.
So what are your feelings? You had some unique feedback when we were talking about this earlier like the platforms.
So
as like a new streamer, so like you have no audience, right? Like,
yeah.
You're starting completely from scratch. Like, I don't even think you've posted a link on Facebook to you being live. So you're not even, like, trying to get your friends to watch.
No, not yet.
This is working out the kinks first.
Yeah. So Twitch is good because it has such that big audience, right?
Biggest potential if you get popular,
yes.
Basically.
And there's definitely, like, some things on Twitch features that are, it feels a little bit more official and more advanced and more solid.
Like more polished, basically.
Yes. Especially with Streamlabs. Like there's just more integration that's not so much there on the Mixer side. But the advantage on the Mixer side is that because it's a slightly smaller community there, if you have like 6 viewers in your stream, you're a lot higher up in the directory.
Which is awesome.
So for a new person, that's really awesome. And then just the Xbox integration too is really cool.
Which opens the audience over to more casual watchers, well,
and
I guess.
A lot of my friends play
Xbox integration. I thought it was only Mixer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Xbox, I thought it was Twitch. Sorry.
And so a lot of my friends were playing on their Xbox, and then just like from their dashboard, just jumped into my.
Oh, because it's the same account as your Xbox.
And they were already
account.
Signed in, so they could chat and say hi.
And you,
that was really.
You're
cool.
Sitting in front
that's
of a TV
cool.
at that point, right?
Yeah,
so a little bit easier.
That's
to sit
actually
down
pretty
and watch someone play a game
pretty
for
cool.
an hour.
And then when you go to the monetization stuff, you can do like donations through PayPal and whatever, but Mixer integrates the donating into Mixer itself. And so there's less third-party stuff, which might be advantageous. I haven't looked at
you
it.
You were complaining to me that there were about 800 different ways for someone
there
to
is
donate to you.
And at first I thought it was like 800 ways to pay somebody, but it's actually just different ways to interact. And some of the stuff like, so Embers you can pay partners with, and only partners can get paid with those. But then with Sparks are just things you... So Sparks are things you accrue just by watching.
Okay.
So it's like XP, and then you can use that to interact with the stream, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, to like make stuff happen.
So it's like not a microtransaction thing at all.
Oh, that's cool, I guess.
And isn't
Mixer
high quality as well?
The quality you can get the same.
Or less latency.
Twitch is caught up a little
bit. Advantage for being on Mixer, isn't it?
So there's the FTL, the faster than light technology or whatever, which is basically like zero latency. And Twitch has low latency, which I streamed with, but the interaction that you get with the FTL is definitely like, it's just like you're just talking to someone on the who's typing on the phone basically.
That's really interesting.
Now, can you purposely delay it in case you don't want somebody to see how you're playing, or give somebody to watch?
Yeah, you can still add stream delay.
That's cool.
And to be fair, Twitch's low latency is really good still. The one advantage that I see as an early broadcaster immediately is that you can co-stream on Mixer with other people, whereas Twitch has locked that behind the partner program.
Oh, okay. So that's pretty cool if you're starting out. We were kind of talking about how hard it is to stream alone at first and how much easier it is to do it with someone else.
Yeah.
It makes you much more talkative and comfortable than when you're by yourself and you're like, what am I supposed to, I have one person watching, I don't know who they are, and like, what am I supposed to even be kind of talking about?
So I've tried those out. I might try out YouTube and Facebook. We'll see. Probably won't give Periscope a try. It's
probably not worth YouTube.
Yeah, we'll see. YouTube.
Facebook is cool because you have your own audience already, but.
Yeah, I mean, I see the Facebook numbers, the amount of people watching, and it's just staggering.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if you want to feel good about yourself immediately, starting off, go on Facebook because all your mom and your friends will like watch you immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have. Thank you, Justin, for complimenting my haircut. I have to.
Oh, did we ever talk about that?
We didn't actually bring it up on the stream, and I was surprised nobody mentioned it.
You look good, man. Good job on the haircut.
I have a. I have no longer. I cut 14 inches of hair off, and donated all to charity. It was a little crooked. So now it is time to talk about Computex, and I am very, 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 very excited about this.
Computex this week, I think, was E3 next week, so next week would be all about games.
Yeah. It seems like E3 hardware. Started like 4 days ago, but...
No, I'm seeing a bunch of stuff. But let's focus on Computex. First of all, the star of the show, I want to give the award to...
Elgato! No.
It starts with the A and ends with a D.
Azrakta.
AMD, these guys just knocked it out of the park.
Killed it.
Oh my god. Like,
unbelievable. It's just man, they just delivered and delivered.
Like, even fanboys couldn't argue that they did an amazing job.
You can't.
There's so much hype online right now for what they announced, and we'll get into it in a second, but universally, like, just pure excitement and just hype everywhere on the internet. Like, it's I've never seen such a huge reaction like this so quickly. People are just crazy
hype. It almost feels like when Intel dropped the Core 2 Duo back in the day.
Yeah.
Where people were so excited about upgrading, and it was such a big, drastic improvement that I believe this is going to be the same with. But this time on AMD side.
I think so. So to really get into it, AMD announced the next generation of their Ryzen platform. So it's Zen, is it is it two or
Zen 2?
It's two, I think,
is
the
generation.
Third generation, but Zen 2. Yeah. This is essentially their them transitioning to a 7-nanometer process. So that's the first 7-nanometer PC CPU. And they also announced the GPU on 7-nanometer as well. But
so they're all, it's all about 7.
It's they're transitioning to 7-nanometer, but the amazing part about this announcement is when it comes to pricing, number of cores, and increase in performance, this is an insane jump for a generation from AMD. So the top-end part is called the 3900X. So it's a 12-core CPU, so 12 cores, 24 threads. Its base clock is 3.8. Its boost frequency is 4.6, which is a really healthy jump over the previous generation of Ryzen processors. Yeah. It's only 105 watts at 12 cores. And
that's impressive as hell.
Which is amazing. That's crazy. It's basically, so AMD has what's called Infinity Fabric, which allows them to put what are like chiplets on the CPU, right?
That's also impressive because now that you're separating the process and you're, you know, at this point, you're yielding more chips.
Exactly. And
it's
you can,
just unbelievable.
So it's two chiplets that are 6 cores a piece. And then the price is the crazy part. It's MSRP is $499.
This is the 3900X.
Yes.
And it beats out the Intel 9920X.
Right. So
which is a $1,200 processor.
So I want to preface something because I think this is very important.
Yeah.
All of the performance numbers that have been released were by AMD. Right. And I think that's important to mention because there's not a lot of context on how things were tested and stuff like that. So
this could be totally synthetic.
I think it's important as a consumer just to recognize, like, wait until independent, wait until we do a review or your favorite hardware site like Hot Hardware does a review for direct comparisons to other numbers. But
do you think they would lie though?
It's not. I'm saying that they're lying about their numbers, but there's always ways to position things in the best light or, you don't see the whole story when it comes to performance across multiple things. So that's all
good.
I'm saying.
Guys, it's good.
Regardless, this is an amazing processor.
It's just good. Now here's the impression for those of you who don't understand, AMD typically offered more cores.
For the price,
which provided more value, right? Where they typically lagged was if you stripped down all the cores and said, you know what, let's compare core for core and clock for clock, AMD typically lagged a little behind Intel, which it's what we call IPC. So on the IPC front, Intel traditionally always led the race.
And the reason that's important to our audience is that because of the way games function, a lot of times single-threaded performance it impacts gaming performance, particularly at lower resolutions where your CPU is the performance indicator for a lot of part at 1080p. So that's a part of why this is important, essentially.
And now they're like, we cannot confirm that they surpassed the single-core performance because we need to wait for the third party,
right,
like Ron's saying.
Right.
But according to AMD, they did.
They showed on a single-threaded Cinebench score, I think a 4% advantage over the 9900K.
It's impressive.
On single-threaded. I think that they gave some raw numbers on the IPC boost. It was like 16% IPC uplift. I think it's like a 30-something percent performance, multi-threaded performance increase over the generation. It's just absolutely insane, especially at the TDP of 105 watts.
So they closed the gap, single-threaded performance, IPC performance. They either closed it or surpassed it.
Right.
And on top of that, they just give you a bunch of extra cores.
A bunch of extra cores. And then there's some other cool stuff with the with the actual performance you're getting. So they announced a new chipset, X570.
That requires a fan, by the way.
But
the chipset itself draws a little bit of wattage, but it's for what seems like a good reason. It's the first platform to support PCIe 4.
That's right. That's the big one.
Which is a huge deal because we'll get into it probably next. But another thing at Computex where a bunch of PCIe 4 SSDs, I guess we'll just talk about it now. You're basically seeing like a 50% throughput performance increase.
That's on insane. SSDs.
On SSDs.
Because with graphics, it's not so much. Now, it doesn't matter.
It's hard to know what the effect will be.
I wish it could. But what about latency?
Right. Through PCIe, basically?
Through PCIe Gen 4.
Yeah, I'm not... So I haven't... I can't talk about anything specifically, but it's going to be very interesting to see numbers that come out with how this impacts any device that you're plugging into it.
I mean, I just wonder... So, like, when you compare, like, the Intel Optane 905P, right, the big advantage that drive has over a standard Samsung 970 Pro is the IOPS and latency.
Right. It's right. Essentially that the Optane does better at lower Q depths than traditional NAND does, which means for most things you're doing, which are at low Q depths, you get better performance, which in what you feel is latency, which means that the drive gives you the data quicker when you go to access it, like for normal things like launching a program.
So I wonder if these PCIe Gen 4 drives are going to close that gap as well, because that would be hell of impressive.
It's going to be really interesting to see. Now, I would expect that it may affect it, although for the most part, like the NAND storage is part of what causes some of that latency, the way that like multi-level NAND works. So, but the other really cool part about this launch is there's like an obscene amount of motherboards. Like, one of our complaints when Ryzen launched originally and was that there wasn't as big of a board selection, which you can understand, right? These board vendors, it's a new platform. You know, you're not confident in like what you're going to kind of sell.
You said the word right there, Ron. It's confidence. It's vendor confidence.
Yep.
If motherboard vendors are not confident enough in the platform, they're not going to invest as much, right?
No, it takes a lot of money to spin up a whole board.
It's engineering resources. It's money. There's just a lot of investment that the motherboard manufacturer needs to put into a design. And I got to tell you, man, if there's, the selection is that large, that means that they're confident that it's going to do really, really well.
And there's a lot of like high-end boards too, which is really great to see, like not just mid-range boards, but Asus showed some really like really nice high-end stuff at Computex.
Yeah.
So I just want to kind of quickly...
All kinds of form factors too.
A lot of form factors, like mini ITX. Oh, and so these chips are supported backwards on AM4.
Which I don't recommend, by the way.
So there is a
AMD recommends either, do they?
There's going to be some boards that probably won't be able to support the power draw of the 12-core. I always recommend upgrading your board if you can. I think if you have an X470 board outside of PCIe 4, if you have like a good like enthusiast grade X470 board, you're probably fine. But like budget boards is where I would say that there's probably like...
Wait, so the CPU works with the older boards?
Yeah.
It's backwards compatible.
Yeah, the CPUs work with the older boards.
Oh, okay.
Do
the older CPUs work with the newer boards?
In a way...
I would assume so. Not because of the PCIe 4, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not 100% positive on that.
I would not have done that if I were them, just from... it's going to cause some confusion.
And
it might, depending on the noob that's building, that's upgrading their system,
right?
They might be disappointed with if they try to plug a 12 core into their B350M board or whatever it is,
right?
And it doesn't work, AMD must suck. But so, like, just do your research, or just buy a new PC on Mangrew.com.
Definitely buy a new PC,
but
and that's why we have a big Ryzen sale now, like, we wanted to, do something like aggressive on the current gen, which is amazing still, and give you guys a good value on that. So to go over the rest of the stack, because it it gets more interesting. Oh, and forgot to mention, so there's a new branding too. They're calling this Ryzen 9. So the top end chip is Ryzen 9. So it's not Ryzen 7, it's Ryzen 9.
That makes sense. They want to position it against Core i9.
Right. It totally makes sense. Yeah. It is two chiplets on the chip that are only six cores. And the next CPU down, which is the 3800X, is one chiplet with eight cores. Mm. So
it's a totally different class.
Yeah. So you have the 3800X, which is $399. That's another 105-watt part, eight cores, 16 threads. Then you have the 3700X. This is really interesting to me. 3700X, eight cores, 16 threads.
65 watts, isn't it?
Only 65 watts at 4.4 at $329, which is amazing.
I wonder if... I'm not expecting overclocking headroom on the top end parts.
I wouldn't anticipate it based off of how they've positioned their Zen products and like giving a customer like, listen, this is the performance it can do.
I wonder that 65 watt part, I wonder how much headroom it'll have.
I would assume there's going to be more wiggle room. And this is just like a guess. Like this isn't based off of any testing, but I would assume that particularly the 3700X would have a little bit more wiggle room. But what's interesting is it's only like a 100 megahertz difference with that huge difference in wattage. And then
they killed it, man.
There's a six core, 12 thread. So still, you know, you get, I want to call it hyper thread. It's like so funny. I just want to call it hyper threading, even though it's an AMD processor. That goes up to 4.4 at $249, and then a 3600, six core, 12 threads, 4.2 gigahertz at $199. The entire stack is, those are Ryzen 5s. Okay. 3800, 3700 are Ryzen 7, 3600 are Ryzen 5s, and the 3900X is Ryzen 9. So you're getting just like a ton of good options depending on what you do. And most importantly, it looks like based on their numbers, they've closed the gap of the single threaded performance. So it's going to be, I cannot wait to talk about real performance. The release date is 7/7 for this as well.
It's coming, baby. So, I mean, in a way, AMD is really helping push the desktop performance, I guess, benchmark or standard forward.
Yep.
Right. So from a core standpoint, the more mainstream multiple cores become, the more developers can develop games, right, for these multi-core CPUs, right, or these multi-core systems, that is. So today, when think of like when a developer is making a game, they might want to, you know, visually, they might want to say, I want to design this beautiful game. But then when it comes financially, they need to make a decision and say, if I design this game that doesn't work on, you know, 80% of the computers out there, then my game won't sell. So what they end up doing, they end up scaling back and basically dumbing down some of the graphics to make sure that their game works with, you know. Now, you know, graphics are obviously GPU heavy, right? Mm-hmm. But think about what you can start doing with the extra cores now.
Of course. I'm so streaming maybe, at the same time, a 12-core processor is going to be amazing.
Yeah, so you can do a lot more. So it's almost like it's opening up a new possibilities. And you know, bravo to AMD for the execution, man. They definitely took Computex by storm this year.
If you're a console gamer, this is like the perfect time to upgrade because you're just going to get, like, for the same amount of money, just so much more performance.
That's right. I mean, and you know, it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
Absolutely.
So did they announce a GPU as well?
They did. So they officially announced Navi, which is their 7-nanometer GPU-based GPU. The interesting thing about this is that AMD has been using the same architecture for, like, 6 years or 7 years GCN, and they've just like mildly revved it, or they've revved it every generation. So they finally have a new architecture. It's called RDNA. Their 7-nanometer architecture.
Love the naming scheme too.
The part is going to be called the RX5700, and they're kind of positioning it as a 2070 like comparison, like from a performance standpoint. As far as like, so you know, it's
no specs, no, they just made the announcement.
Very loose information. I think they said, so they have another I believe they have a press conference, or they're doing like some sort of event at E3. Yeah. So I would expect to hear more about the graphics stuff then. Yeah. So there's not a lot to talk about there other than it is
PCI 4 though.
It is PCI 4. That's the one thing.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to get creative with PCI 4.
Maybe Crossfire like works better with PCI 4.
I wonder, just because it's almost like a big pipe for a little bit of water, right? So like if they're positioning against the, you know, the 2070 definitely does not take advantage of PCI 3 as is.
Right.
Right, it doesn't populate PCI, not populate, but what's the word I'm looking for?
It doesn't saturate the full bus. But I'm curious if with PCI 4, if you could basically dedicate less lanes to like a card and then essentially get the same throughput. And then so if you have like a bunch of devices, like
go down to X8 or X4.
And then I'm curious if it lets you split stuff up better for more like board variation. It'll be kind of interesting to see.
I wonder if there's going to be enough headroom in that PCI lane where you don't need a bridge to do Crossfire or SLI.
So
eventually,
there's advantages to having a NVLink and a bridge. There's like latency, like real latency. I don't think PCIe Gen 4 will do that.
It's at least I'm glad that they like it's smart that they're at least like it's doing this in tandem, because. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to like try to prove the value of PCIe 4. Yeah. The storage side is 100% where you're going to see the benefits, but we'll probably be able to talk about this more after E3. We'll see what they kind of reveal publicly about it, but it is great to see that they do have a new process architecture finally. I think they gave some crazy numbers. It's like 50% more power efficient. And it's a big performance increase over what they have currently. So, you know, hopefully bringing some parity back to the GPU side. I'd like to see personally like a more top end part, but I know a lot of the market is more in that mid range. So it probably makes sense to kind of start there.
Yeah. Stick it where it hurts, right? now, are we done with AMD?
Are we though?
Yeah, I think
we're done with AMD.
I think we're done with AMD.
Congratulations, AMD. Phenomenal.
Awesome. Computex. And guys, I am watching chat, so if you have any questions, just definitely let us know.
Yeah, somebody said, Glenn Randall, you guys are so awkward. Yes, we are. We're different.
We are not awkward.
So
we're passionate about what we're talking about.
And, you know, let's talk about Intel. Intel did a good job, too. I think, you know, I really like that the dual screen laptop concept thing they had going on.
It was a Frankenstein kind of. Did you hear about how they made it?
They're using like a car.
It's LCD. Like random parts.
Is this a Zenbook thing?
This
is like a gaming concept that's not going to work. That Intel showed at Computex, but
it's a cool, it was a cool idea.
That's how you innovate, and that's how you basically it's like the car world, right? You show prototypes of something, and then get feedback, and you implement it into production, or enable OEMs to produce something.
It's like good to see. I mean, you know, like I do like kind of like the idea of that dual screen. The fun part was that they used eye tracking to bring focus to the window of the stuff in the lower screen, so you don't have to move the mouse down there. You can just like look at your Discord window and then start typing. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really great idea.
You know, by the way, I used the Tobii eye tracking technology.
I've never tried it.
Oh man, so like I think it was E3 where they had a demo of Assassin's Creed. And when you would like it's kind of freaky when you look in the game, like you're looking at the screen, and when you focus in a particular area of the screen, the game interacts with you.
That's really based cool. On that. I can imagine so for like, cool. Especially like sim kind of stuff, like that would be like a good, a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they also Intel also announced the Project Athena, which is
they talked a little bit more about it. They had kind of shown it, I think, at CES originally.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they announced a 10 nanometer, right?
So, the two major things that Intel announced is the, and I cannot, man, I do not like the naming because it's like impossible to remember the letter that they stuck after it. So they announced the 9900KS.
Oh, so this is a desktop part.
Which is a desktop processor. We'll start with that part because that's basically a 5 gigahertz all-core boost version of the 9900K. So you can think of it as it's almost like getting it overclocked for you, where it's the turbo is going to boost all of the cores to 5 gigahertz. Stock, it's only single core at 5 gigahertz, and then it's like the second stage of the turbo is somewhere in between.
Don't all 9900Ks already hit 5 gigahertz if you wanted to?
If you want to overclock it and you have the proper cooling, you pretty much will get 5 gigahertz out of a 9900K. There's a lot of people who don't want to deal with overclocking, and so I think getting like a warrantied part that you don't have to mess around with. You also don't have to have a Z motherboard because it's not overclocking, right? So it would do it on
a Z2.
But
you could do it on the cheaper chipset.
Does a cheaper chipset have enough power?
That's a different conversation,
right? I don't know. That seems like a reaction to they just wanted to have something there, and
it doesn't hurt.
I'm not too impressed with that. I just gotta be frank.
I'm not impressed. Yeah, I totally get that. I think it's
to see more crazy packaging for it. That would be cool.
The thing we don't know, right,
you
is
can't open it.
Is like what is the TDP on that
the
part
spikes.
And what is the required cooling on that part, and what is the price on that part?
It's
like that's a lot of those factors kind of are what are going to make you.
There's
kind
only
of,
so much they can do. Yeah. It's still based on the same process technology.
It's going to have to be liquid cooled. Like I don't.
Yeah, it's not. It's not impressive. It's not as impressive as what the competitor announced, right? But I am super impressed with the 10 nanometer stuff.
Well, and so that's
that is impressive.
Intel's been in a tough position, right? So their 10 nanometer production process has been like delayed considerably, and they've kept kind of revving their 14 nanometer process over the last couple generations. And to be fair, they've managed to get quite good performance gains single threaded out of 14 nanometer over time. Their optimizations and
tick, 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 tick.
Well, and
tick.
Then the core wars kind of like allowed them to get bigger jumps because they were, they went from 4 cores to 6 cores to 8 cores. So there has been change in Intel, even though they've been stuck on the previous process.
Right.
But they finally have announced 10 nanometer Ice Lake CPUs. It seems like, so they're going to be mobile processors, very power efficient, and they should enable some like really powerful, like ultra thin mobile computing solutions.
And that's the key. So having, there's when you're designing a notebook, there's thermals and there's power that you need to take into account. If you put too much of a powerful processor in your notebook, then the battery won't last. And the Z height, which is the thickness, it'll be thicker.
And it becomes noisy.
And it's noisier. Yeah. So, with what Intel announced, you could essentially get these really thin and beautiful notebooks without sacrificing performance or power.
They showed some pretty impressive gameplay stuff on integrated graphics too.
Yeah, so they're saying that you'll be able to play like CS:GO on medium at what they don't. It's one of those charts that doesn't have the number. It's just like it's a graph, so I have to guess.
When I integrated graphics
at like 75 frames per second. They have Rocket League at what looks like, 50 to 55. Fortnite.
You can play esports titles competitively.
And that's important.
Fortnite at over 30 frames a second at 1080p, and Rainbow Six Siege at over 30 frames a second.
That is very, all on medium. Very important.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why, Ron. That's going to enable a whole new generation of gamers.
Yeah.
Right? The people that are buying, you know, these notebooks in Best Buy and that have no idea about this world, all right. of a sudden, their notebook is going to be able to run some type of game. Right, or maybe a free-to-play game, or maybe a Rocket League, which might cost 10 or 15 bucks or whatever. And
they had Rocket League on the list too.
And it'll turn people onto gaming, so it's a huge step forward. You know, between having AMD with their APU stuff and Intel making better onboard graphics, it's hella good for the industry.
It's definitely like it's not something that we kind of in general get too excited about. Just because, like, we love, like, you know,
we're used to Ferrari,
like 4K gaming, and like we want the goodness. But you're right, like, there's a whole group that just like, oh, I have a laptop and like I try to game and it doesn't work, so I guess I don't do PC gaming.
Dude, why do I use a Surface as, you know, my travel tool? I don't want to carry too much weight with me.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And now my Surface doesn't game. Now what if
it can play Hearthstone? Kind of.
Well, and if I'm say
I'll give you an answer to that later. But the thing is, you know, what if it could, right? What if I can play some CS:GO and some like Rocket League and just kind of like casual esports titles, or just kind of entertain myself while I'm in the road? It's cool.
And like as a student, and maybe you got to get a notebook for class. This is like kind of the perfect thing where you don't have to sacrifice.
Yeah, just play CS:GO in class and don't pay attention to the teacher and just have a good time.
I mean, you said it, but not me.
Brent was a good boy.
So that was that was kind of the bulk of Intel's.
So summing up, AMD won the desktop, Intel won the notebook.
I was not going to put it that way, but
that's the truth, right?
They definitely won the mind share of the, I think, of the excitement coming out of Computex. I think that. Is definitely the case.
But to be fair, AMD won this time.
All right. We hand out awards for E3. We might as well do it at Computex.
That's right.
So a couple other things out of Computex that I thought were interesting. A bunch of new G-Sync monitors. We had talked last week about Linus Tech Tips visit to the testing lab and just how, like, absolutely crazy is the amount of effort they put into it. I think they put some stats out this week, and it was so 28 passed, 202 failed due to image quality or other issues.
That's awesome.
273 failed due to inefficient VRR range, which is the range at which
vertical refresh rate.
It's basically, so like the way G-Sync works is essentially it's syncing the monitor to your the monitor refresh rate to your FPS in game. This means that only works in a tiny range of the monitor. So like, you know, from like 55 to 75 I'm not exact, but, and so they just failed them for that. They tested 503.
I love these bottom two stats because it shows you how like tenacious they're being about this. Like,
absolutely.
Hey, there are 536 monitors that we could test. And we're testing every single one, but we could only get a hold of 503 of them.
Dude, that tells you something about NVIDIA.
So when you get G-Sync compatible, like, you know it's,
absolutely.
It's going
and
to work.
I recommend, just like last week, go check out the Linus Tech Tips video of the tour of the facility. It's really impressive the amount of work that they put into it. We do have news about Elgato, and this is pretty much just for Brent, but they announced the Stream Deck XL.
So look at this thing.
So many buttons.
32 buttons.
So many buttons. So we were talking about this. As a content creator, I find this interesting as a potential hotkey tool for like Photoshop or Lightroom or something like that.
You know, it's okay. I mean, there's just more buttons. But I was actually more impressed with their app.
Yeah, so they also did release an app on iOS where you can turn your iPhone into a Stream Deck.
I didn't. Only iOS?
Yeah.
Yeah, the best phone platform in the world. What?
You'll have to borrow Wallace's iPhone next time you want
to
stream.
They'll probably eventually come out with it for... No, I'd love to use like my Shield tablet like it's pretty big, and so I have like a nice case that props it up. That would actually work really well on Android.
Yeah. Interesting comment by Jared Brooks on Facebook. Don't buy pre-built PCs when you can build one for one third of the price. Pre-built PCs are just convenient because it's already push and play. Let me address this troll. First of all, if you can build a PC for one third of the price,
dude, tell me about that.
Yeah, let me know where. Okay,
maybe if you're buying like four generations old used on like hardware swaps.
Second of all, not everybody can build a PC, right? So that's why companies like ours exist and employ people in this country.
We actually had a review recently. We won an Editor's Choice Award for The Vibe, and they addressed like it was only, it was like less than 10% more.
It's less than 10% more expensive than building your own.
Than building your own. Like they literally went through PC Part Picker and like picked the parts out and showed like it wasn't that much more expensive to buy from Main Gear with all the added value that you get by buying from us.
And third of all, you can buy our chassis, baby. Let's go to maingear.com and you can buy a Main Gear chassis and build your own if you'd like to do so. And our cooling systems as well.
One of our part members of our partner program, DZ, actually did a checkout on Instagram. He went to Micro Center and like bought a chassis and bought all the parts and came home and built it and did like a little some stuff on Instagram with it. So definitely check it out. But no,
let me know if you have any questions. These trolls, man, they're just so annoying.
I have to admit, like,
we just like to see you get fired up.
I'll talk casually. Like before I came into this industry, I kind of had that perception in my head. I just made assumptions. Like I thought it was so much more expensive to buy a PC from a company, and I thought like because I didn't understand, you know, and coming to Main Gear, like you see, it's very easy to get caught up, first of all, on how easy you think it is to build a PC when you've been doing it for 15 years. It's not, you don't remember how hard it was the first time. And like, I was lucky. I had a friend that had a bunch of parts and built a bunch of PCs that basically did it for me. If I had done it on my own, it would not have been the same experience. So like,
most people don't know how to build a PC properly, a basic PC properly, right? Like, you know, things like updating a BIOS, things like using the correct drivers, just creating a stable platform. It's very difficult for the average guy.
Even now, just connecting the LED and power buttons.
Just connecting the LEDs and the power buttons correctly. Like, these are basic things,
not
right?
Not forgetting the I/O shield.
All these people that talk about
like four times.
Yeah. So the experience is actually pretty poor if you don't do it correctly or don't know what you're doing.
Right? And,
so sometimes the computer is laggy or like it freezes for no reason and you don't know why. It's because you don't know what you're doing. And then we have the other class of guys that are, you know, that would want like the super stock type of systems with the hardline cooling. Mm-hmm. 99.9% of the people out there cannot build those systems. Even experienced.
I can't. I've like been doing this stuff for years. Like I'm not like in our own company. Like I can't build that way.
It's
the
just
way that our guys do.
It takes an exorbitant amount of knowledge, know-how. Yeah. I mean, engineering,
liquid cooling expertise.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes a lot, right? And time. Yeah. It'll take you 3 months to build a computer like that for the first time.
Probably.
If you are able to execute.
It might even be more, to be honest.
There's different strokes for different folks.
And speaking from experience, if you don't have patience when building a water cooling PC, it will not end well for you.
That's right.
If you try to cut corners, it does not.
I mean, I've had friends who thought they were going to go do it and they were going to bend tubes and they spent like $200 on tubes because they just kept ruining them. Oh, like
did it end up costing them more than just buying
it?
A new
wasn't
PC?
You know, so but I just wanted to say that because like I get the like not understanding like this space from the outside, but like you really need to realize that it's not as easy for most people to do something that you've done for forever. You know, you can't just like give a pair of rollerblades to someone and expect them to go down a giant hill. Like they're going to fall.
And
like,
never mind having like an ESD place ESD certified place to build a system. Yeah. Like
that's what I was going to mention. The professional tools that Main Gear has that you just don't have is DIY built.
Yeah, simple things. Using screwdrivers that have the correct tensions so that you don't board flex your board and then end up having
all
problems.
Our deployment stuff. And
see, Jared Brooks, see what you caused. You caused us to go out of our way to address your
great conversation, though. I think it's a common misconception in this space and something that some enthusiasts just kind of don't understand.
My advice to you is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
This is for you, Wallace. Microsoft has released a gaming version of the IntelliMouse.
That's the best mouse ever. No, it really is. So that's the mouse that essentially created ergonomic mice.
Yep.
Like the movement.
100%.
I mean, like it's just and even the original IntelliMouse, I believe it was one of the first mice to launch the laser mouse.
I think it was too.
It was one of the first. I'm not sure.
It might have been the first like mainstream, like bulk kind of mouse that had
But the feel and the grip is so perfect. And now that they've upgraded sensors and stuff, it's even better.
Right. Yeah, it's 16,000 DPI sensor with 12,000 FPS refresh rate.
It's designed for gamers. It's probably going to be the best sensor out there.
You see all the esports guys playing it.
Because the way it works is, you know, most of these mouse manufacturers are not designing their own sensors. Okay, they're buying stuff.
And the good ones are actually telling you which sensor it is.
Like, that's right. That's right. So a company like Microsoft, they don't just buy stuff and assemble it. They actually engineer every little. Oh, yeah. Bit of the mouse, right? So,
$60.
I can't wait to get my hands on that guy.
Yeah, it's only $60, which I think is pretty good.
Is it out already? Can we buy it?
I don't think it is out yet.
Let's check real quick.
I think it just got announced.
That's gonna be a baller ass mouse. Now,
it has your favorite feature too.
What's that?
No RGB.
That's why it's gonna be a baller mouse. I just wish it was black.
Yeah, I think they're kind of fitting their design aesthetic, like with Surface and stuff like
but
that.
But it matches our vibe.
It does match. It does match our vibe.
It matches the vibe. That's why we designed the vibe to match that color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just a little bit of gaming news. So the RTX Quake is going to be available next week. This was a pretty cool thing for NVIDIA to do.
For free.
It's Quake 2.
Yep, Quake 2.
So they basically brought RTX to Quake 2, ray tracing goodness to. It's just so funny. I think this is super fun.
This is like, it seems like an April Fool's joke, but I'm kind of still excited for it.
No.
So I got to play this version of the game when I went to visit.
Oh, you did? A month ago. Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, they showed it to us. And the illumination specifically makes the game look significantly better or more playable. Look, there you go.
Good night.
There you go. See that? It looks like it's dark. And
it's amazing what better lighting does.
It looks sick, man. So like,
it's really cool. What better lighting does.
I'm actually pretty excited about this one because I haven't played.
Yeah. Also, there was like 2 weeks ago, Minecraft. Someone added ray tracing to Minecraft.
And GTA
looks super cool. I think the biggest news of the week from a gaming standpoint to me was Microsoft bringing Game Pass to the PC. I think this is a huge deal. You subscribe to Game Pass, right, Brent?
So yeah, I have Game Pass because I have an Xbox at home.
Okay, so I think it'd be better for you to explain the service since you've used it.
So Game Pass has all of Microsoft's first party games on it, and I'm pretty sure that those stay on there forever.
Are they streamed to the?
No, so okay. It's basically like a subscription, and then you download the games. And then they can go out of subscription.
Okay.
The third party ones. And then at that point you can choose to purchase them if you want to.
Okay.
The coolest thing about Game Pass though is that you get Game Pass, your friends get Game Pass, you now all have the exact same library of games and you can play all those games.
My group chat of gamer friends last night were like decided that they were all going to sign because there's a trial. It's like, I think $1 a month.
Yeah. It's like $1 for the first 3 months. So, and then it's $15 after that, which is like,
so they all signed up so they could play Forza or Sea of Thieves together.
Yeah. For $1
for like try it out. But they announced this is a pretty, pretty big change, but they announced bigger changes culturally within Microsoft to go around with this.
And
so Game Pass coming to
they've
PC
been,
is a big deal.
They've been on a roll.
Like
yeah,
with just buying up studios like nobody's business.
No, the company in general. Yeah. Like,
well, you have to when you're playing from behind.
The CEO's name,
Satya.
I always think of Nutella every time I think his last name is
the
always
CEO
like,
of Microsoft.
Yeah, he's this guy is just like what an amazing human being, and what he's doing with the company is just absolutely
phenomenal. Recognizing that they're a services company and that it's not about locking people in. It's about getting people into your ecosystem.
Yeah. And when he came and got announced as a CEO, I really thought he was going to screw things up.
Well, he was from like the office team. He was from like the enterprise team, I think, or something like that.
I think he was from the office team.
And yeah, no, it seemed like a weird choice, but in retrospect,
well, he's got a great team under him too, because like when they put Phil Spencer in charge of Xbox, he completely turned that around with the Xbox One from just being like total dumpster fire of a launch to just an amazing product.
So on top of Game Pass coming to PC, they also announced some changes to the ways that they'll sell games on the PC, which is super exciting. So the first is that they're getting they're going to allow games to be sold in the Microsoft Store without UWP. So UWP is the format that the games are like the files are in the Microsoft Store, and it's been a common complaint against gamers because it screws things up, like modding.
It's
and
like that Windows 8 kind of.
It's like a sandboxy, like kind of like package for the application.
I think it's Universal Windows something.
Yeah, and so that's awesome because it means that like regular game developers can just sell games the way they're selling them across other platforms in the Microsoft Store. So that will make the Microsoft Store more attractive, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they also said that they're going to start selling their games outside of the store. And they particularly, Phil Spencer, not during the press conference, but afterwards, Phil Spencer said that they're going to gradually start selling more games in Steam. So
specifically first-party Microsoft Game Studios.
Yes. Games. Now, I think if you play enough of those, Game Pass is going to be an infinitely better deal. $15 a month, you're talking at what, like $150 a year. If you play four games, you made out.
Well, and Microsoft confirmed that they're announcing 14 new first party titles at E3.
Yeah, E3 is going to be bananas.
So that'll like really determine just.
So I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's a good change, and I think it's good for PC gaming overall.
Well, I'm glad they're like, because Phil's been saying for a while that they're taking PC seriously, and now he's kind of put some teeth behind that.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's exciting to see that they're embracing that more. So it seems like I don't know what Sony's even doing for E3 this year. They don't have a press conference. I don't know if they're doing like an offsite event. It seems like the thing that would have been one of the biggest already got shown, which was the Death Stranding trailer.
Which I think we can expect more of that kind of stuff, like little mini releases and maybe something along more the lines of what Nintendo's done in the past couple of years too.
Yeah.
Maybe a live streamer.
I think it's cool if they control it. I just hope that they have some really awesome first party stuff to show off this year.
Yeah. Sure.
But definitely looking forward to Microsoft as a PC gamer. Like it's, I don't own an Xbox, but I will get access to all these games, which is like the best part. And a new Call of Duty was announced. Worst name ever.
I mean,
the new Call of Duty.
Is Call of Duty still a thing? Like, is it
called just Modern Warfare? It's just called Modern Warfare.
They're like copying Apple, like the new iPad.
They just called it the same thing as the previous one. Now, I will say I like the idea of what they're doing. It's a darker tone. They're doing crossplay, so you'll be able to play PS4, Xbox, and PC against each other.
So then the aim can't be accurate.
The consoles now support mouse and keyboard.
So every console player is going to have to get a mouse and keyboard.
Well, no, so
you
it's,
can't, you
it's,
won't be able to
it's
play.
It's cross-play in the hey, I want to play with my buddies. Like, you're not going to be matched with them if you get into a bucket on either platform. Like, I don't think on PC you're going to get matched with PS4 people. It's more you can party up with your friends. So if
so
you have
like cross-play, like I can beat single player together? Is that what you mean?
Like,
so if you're on PC and I'm on Xbox, we could play together.
Yeah, we could party up and then go play
online. PS4, we could all play on the same.
Yeah.
which I think is cool.
That still mixes the controller and the keyboard and mouse players.
Right? Well, yeah, you'll carry us.
I would imagine they do something on the back end where, like, maybe like they won't allow a PC player onto a all like console mix.
You'll probably
thing.
Be able to opt out.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other games have done this before. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. Like I have enough friends on different platforms that like if like just randomly go and play with someone else, particularly on the PS4 to Xbox side, I think that's great.
Yeah.
If you have a friend that has an Xbox and you have a PS4, I think
this
that's
game
pretty
also
awesome.
Has RTX that was announced.
I forgot about that part. That's actually pretty exciting
as
well.
Which is why that trailer we just showed you.
Lots of reflections.
You're watching. Yeah, that's all in-game footage, which is just okay. Insane.
Like,
this looks like as good as Battlefield 5 does.
They have done historically some very like compelling campaigns. Mm-hmm. And so if this is a darker tonality, interesting campaign, I'll... Yeah.
Can we talk about that? If this game doesn't launch with a campaign and is called Modern Warfare, what is going on?
So I think they confirmed that it's like a weird... Like, there is a single player, but, like, the story bleeds into the multiplayer kind of thing.
Please don't screw it up.
I hope not. Actually, you know what? I don't care. It's Call of Duty. I'm not going to buy it anyway. And it's never going to go on sale because the, like, 2 million people that just buy Call of Duty every single year.
And it's on Battle.net on the PC. So.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And that's how they're doing it, as I'm assuming with a Battle.net login. You'll be able to... you'll be able to play against your friends kind of through Battle.net. The way like Fortnite does it with your Epic account.
Fortnite and Dauntless. And...
Yeah. That's mostly it for news. There's some smaller stuff. YouTube Gaming got shut down. They just integrated it back into YouTube.
I mean, nobody used it.
I don't think so.
It's just, how many times did you go to YouTubegaming.com?
Never once. Oh, I'm sorry.
Went to
I
YouTube
went
to the beginning.
And then
watched I think the I gaming show on YouTube.
Yeah. So it made no sense. I mean, it's just they're not killing it. They're implementing it into YouTube.
It's basically there's like a thing in the sidebar now that says gaming on YouTube, and it has like the browse by game experience. Yeah. It's not black anymore. Like it's the YouTube, like it's the same theme as YouTube. I guess maybe that's a bummer.
Yeah, you can still turn dark mode on.
There was an article about Chrome blocking ad blockers.
Yeah, so I thought this was interesting because it might shake up the future, like
what browser you use.
Yeah. So they're gonna start blocking ad blockers unless you're on an enterprise build, which I thought was very curious.
It's not all ad blockers either. It's select ad blockers, if I remember correctly from the article.
It's
you're gonna be the good guy here.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the good guy. I mean, you're getting information for free. You're consuming somebody. It's somebody. There's people running that business. If you go to a website, there's somebody putting a lot of effort into that website, right? And you know, now granted, I hate the websites where they're like spamming you with ads. That
where it's
sucks.
Like we blocked 95 ads on this page.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's
what?
Stupid, right? Like that's the reason why I have certain an ad blocker on my desk, yeah. my browser.
Take it too far.
It's just to prevent those websites from just like destroying my experience. But for the most part, I mean, people need to keep paying their bills.
Yeah.
Right, and there's like what I think Google should do personally is. Downrank the sites that are just spamming people with ads.
Yeah, because they have like basically total control over SEO.
Right.
It's tough, right? Because that any time that you get into a position where Google is acting as like a filter for content is
yeah, it becomes right
problematic.
I mean, but then again, they're not filtering anything. The website is on the web,
right?
They're filtering their services to provide a better experience to their customers. So. That's arguable.
I agree with you. It's tough. So I started running ad blockers honestly from a security standpoint. There were a lot of issues, and it probably isn't as much of a problem anymore. But like, there were tons of issues with like banner ads being infected with like zero day Windows exploits and things like that. Sometimes I'm shocked when I turn it off. Like I'm on a web page right now and it's blocking 61 items with an ad blocker.
Like that's actually a reputable webpage too. I'm surprised.
Now, I mean, obviously,
it's probably those keywords.
There's
in the
there's lots of like little things like that. Like, I think the good. Well, no, and see, this gets them in trouble too because like they could do like a ad blocker that only blocks aggressive ads, and build it into Chrome, and then but and then
sell non-aggressive ads.
Yeah, the problem is they sell ads.
Yeah.
It's
a tricky line.
This website's got like 900 ads on it. Now that I'm like scrolling through it, it's just like there's videos playing. There's like,
yeah, then that's intrusive. See, now we're not going to talk about what website because we know the people. They're good people actually, but it's a poor experience. If when I go to that website and I'm trying to just read an article or read a review or something, and there's like you know ads popping up and like everywhere, that's annoying, man. That's just bad.
Yeah.
So the only way to fix that, Ron, is if Google said, you know what, we're not going to keep on upranking you based on the experience you're providing.
Yeah. The one challenge is that so much of their like revenue is tied to the way that they like, you know, there's premium ad spots, for example, that they'll have a higher CPM on. And those are usually probably the most annoying ones, like website takeover ads and like things like that.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to watch to see if browser usage shifts after this.
Nobody's using Edge, that's for sure. I guess Firefox will take off again.
Someone was suggesting in chat using like Pi-hole, which is like a the idea is
shut your pie hole.
The idea is you run a Raspberry Pi. That filters the ads on your network, and they still get served to the website.
So your Raspberry Pi gets all the viruses.
So basically, the website ads still like they're still getting the money for the ad.
That's almost as bad as all the chargers you carry in your all the headphones you carry in your book bag.
You know, I've gone down a giant rabbit hole of trying to find a pair of true wireless earbuds recently.
We're already 10 minutes over. We're not getting into this.
It's too inconvenient, guys. Let's just not go there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
I want to talk about true wireless headphones and how bad they are.
We can save that conversation for the next.
It's super frustrating.
My AirPods work great.
I know. It's really upsetting.
It works very good.
There's not a single good competitor to the AirPods on Android.
Get an iPhone.
Infuriating.
That's right.
They're not convenient enough for me to buy a whole new phone.
I use the best. I'm a technologist. I use the best. That's how it is. So, guys, thank you for
Whoa. We have a winner of a giveaway to announce, and you're just going to cut the stream off.
You're correct.
We may have some people may have been watching the whole time to find out if they won a 9900K, and then we'll just pull the plug and walk away.
If you're not watching... Then you're not going to win. I'm just kidding.
Then I get it. before I announce the winner, make sure to follow us on social media. We do giveaways.
Just delay it even more.
That's exactly what I'm doing. We do giveaways pretty frequently. We do this live stream every single Friday at 5:30. Definitely check out YouTube for... What are we calling the show? I cannot remember every single time. Your show with Nick.
Oblivious with Nick.
This week they played Overcooked. So we're doing some gaming stuff as well.
Can you play some real games?
We're going to play Rocket League this week.
That's a real game.
Overcooked.
Can you play some like graphically intensive, like cool games that most people cannot run at home? I think it's better than...
That's a separate show. That's on the off weeks.
Yeah. That's a separate show.
I have some ideas around that.
That's a separate show.
Nick just really wants to shoot somebody in the face, and I'm doing everything to keep him from doing that for about a month, just because I think it's hilarious.
Okay, Brent.
And the winner is?
Who won? This is always anticlimactic, too, because there's no way to like really be dramatic about it. You just say the person's name, and you're like, congratulations.
Yeah, an hour and like 20 minutes is dramatic enough. Right? I mean...
We can just sit here in silence and let it come up one letter.
Spit it out, Ron.
I don't know who won.
It was in the notes.
I know. I have it in the notes. I'm actually just lying. Don't make me do this. So the winner is actually kind of crazy. The winner for the i9-9900K giveaway is Ben J from Brooklyn, New York.
Ben J is his last initial. I didn't want to disclose his whole name.
Yeah. We will. So we'll email you, Ben, if you are watching, which I highly doubt. But if you are watching, Ben, congratulations. We'll shoot you an email. Congratulations on winning a 9900K. We'll have
come pick it up to our main gear. Let's totally do it.
next week. Is E3 next week or is it the week after?
So E3 starts the week after.
Okay.
But all
I'd see a lot E3, of news.
So E3 doesn't start until like Tuesday or Wednesday.
Even though E3 starts
really
like,
starts like yeah, when the first conference
3 days ago,
which is Microsoft's E3. On Sunday.
E3 starts when Computex starts. It's, like all the news starts. The
yeah, like we've already seen E3 stuff. Yeah.
I think next week will be a lot of E3 predictions.
I think we should do. We'll do E3 predictions on the bench.
You want to do like a card where we see who was most right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we'll have to find like some sort of way to compete each other against like who's gonna have the most accurate predictions. My only prediction is that Cyberpunk will not be announced. Will not like no date for it. That's my only prediction as of right
again.
Now. Yeah, again,
it does look cool though.
Yeah. I know you hate that game.
It stresses me out, but looks good. It stresses me out, like the Mad Max type of thing.
You don't. I
don't know.
Have you ever watched like the old original Mad Max?
It's
too much for you.
It's too much. But all right, guys. Hey, thank you very much. Congratulations to
Ben from Brooklyn.
And Mr. Ben J.
Ben J.
Ben J.
Ben J.
And have a good weekend. Peace.
Later. See you.